Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks is engineering our show. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the last Friday of March, March 27th, 2015. Hope you had a great day. The day's going not over yet, of course. I hope you had a great week. We are live weekdays, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at any time at buckmastershow.com. Also, we have a live stream going on here at KVOI as well. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and Tucson Life. Lifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Daryl Cole is with us. Mr. Cole is director of the Tucson Department of Transportation. Joining me in studio to question Mr. Cole is Jim Nintzel, senior writer for the Tucson Weekly. Jim is also the host of Zona Politics. Zona Politics is a weekly Sunday morning TV show on Channel 9 at 9.
I think we're at 8 this week.
What? A time change or something?
They're shifting us.
Yeah, wow, last week it was 9.
Last week it was 9. We work around the NBA. Okay. K-Gun's really good about keeping us on no matter what programming's going on.
But NBA is the first priority then.
Down the line is my show. So we'll actually be following this week,
okay,
which we're very excited about.
Very cool. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Folks love to complain about potholes, and of course a lot of that is justified. Now is your opportunity to speak with Daryl Cole at 790-2040. You can also join us on Facebook. We're over 4,000 friends. We're looking for more. Daryl, how are you?
Doing well this afternoon on a Friday.
We are into the first year of the five-year, $100 million project to repair the city's worst streets. We've resurfaced 241 miles, and you came in about $12 million less than projection. Does that mean more projects will get done?
Yes. The short answer is yes. We have a $100 million program that was passed by the voters in late 2012, November of 2012. We are, as you said, through the first year and well into the second year of paving. We go by fiscal year, so it's July 1st through June 30th. So we're into our second fiscal year right now and closing in on it right now. We have under contract a little over $20 million worth of work as we speak and actively paving that. So we're the $20 million of the first year is well done. We took us about 15, 16 months to get through most of that. And we're well into that second $20 million. To answer your question about more dollars, we're fairly conservative in our approach when we went out to the voters on the arterial system. 85% of those dollars for the $100 million was to go to arterial streets and 15% to go to the local or residential streets. We've had our Citizens Task Commission, our commission for bond oversight commission, if you would call them, working on this. And we went to them, it's been 2 weeks ago now, and have their approval and their recommendation of streets that they want to add to the $100 million over the course of the 5 years. And we hope to take that to our city council with that recommendation in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, shortly before we went on the air, I gave you my pothole that bothers me, and I'm sure everybody's got one, and you took care of it. And it's not that I've got any more pull. If people can call a hotline number, and rather than complain about it, they can call the hotline number and get into the queue, so to speak, the waiting list to get it done. What's the number?
It's, of course, your 520 area code, 791-3154. You can go on our website, the City of Tucson Transportation website, and make a request through that on off hours. We have an answer machine that answers that 24 hours a day that we'll get to it on the next business cycle. We have two folks that answer that phone during regular work hours, 7 to 4:30. And we do real well. In fact, I do it too. I call those requests in. Uh-huh. As I see them, I call them in, and we get them in our service request system, and they get pushed into a work order to our maintenance areas and get in the queue and to get fixed.
Here's Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the Broadway corridor, because I know that's a project that's coming up, and it is controversial. There are some members of the community who would like to not see the street widened at all. There's others who are looking forward to seeing it widened, and there's a lot of folks in between who want to see some work done, but perhaps preserve some of these historic buildings or keep the width as narrow as possible. So as I understand it, you're at a point now where you're looking at a six-lane project there with bike paths, sidewalks, and all the rest of that. But you had a citizens committee meeting last night, and what came out of that?
There was quite a lot of discussion that went along. We have a citizens task force that's been working on this project for almost going on 2 years and looking at all different ways of addressing the multi-modes of transportation we're trying to put into this corridor. It's a two-mile corridor. We're looking at cars, of course, buses, bike, and ped. And the outcome of the corridor looks like we got some pretty good direction from the task force. They put an awful lot of time and effort, like 35 meetings already, and there's been hundreds of hours of effort from not only staff, but just our commission and the public in general. So we've had a lot of public input, open houses. And as you said, there's a lot of differences in how people look at that corridor, what they expect from it. And the expectations are, you know, what we want. And it is an older corridor that has some historic buildings in it and such. So we are going with a six-lane cross-section. It's pretty clear that we want to save as many of the historic buildings, as many buildings as we absolutely can as part of the design. So it is a custom design roadway. It's not an even width. We're going to narrow the sidewalks where we need to go around areas and buildings. I mean, you have significant buildings. You have Miles School there. You have a large church on the north side. So we're going to gerrymander, if you will, the roadway through those, still making it safe, of course. And we're going to do everything we can to preserve the buildings we can, still get the amenities, the travel lanes we necessary for the traveling down it. We're going to have minimum levels of sidewalk at 6 foot. Then rather than 8 foot, we'll have landscaping where we can. Where we have to reduce some of the landscaping, we'll do that as well to go around buildings. And I think that some of the direction that we've gotten from our task force as well as the citizens that have been involved. It's been a difficult project for sure and a lot of public input, but I think it's been very healthy for the community as a whole to be engaged and involved. And we're looking forward to getting into design and then coming up with a good project at the end.
And one of the complaints that some of the Citizens Committee members had was over this whole question of whether you would have dedicated transit lanes. And I think some folks thought that you should continue to have cars in four of the six lanes, but the outside lanes on either side would be transit lanes dedicated to buses or even potentially light rail somewhere down the road. And where does that stand at this point?
We have transit today on Broadway. It's one of our high density corridors, if you will, all the way out to Houghton from downtown. So it is a transit use, high usage place already, probably second or third that we have in the community as far as usage. Right now you're going to see six lane footprint. And we're going to have a transit element, but I don't believe we'll sit with at the day of opening, we probably won't have dedicated lanes. Although, as we increase ridership, we'll have many bus pullouts and or bus stops along the corridor. I think as this develops out, you'll see a more intense use of the bus and the transit system, and we'll address that after we get well into design and moving forward. As we get more ridership, I think we'll look at that. We leave ourselves an envelope for the future if we do build it out to build BRT, bus rapid transit, and or streetcar and or light rail into the future. But initially, we'll build it for the needs that we have at the time and allow for those things to build out as the ridership increases.
And one more question. What is the viability of light rail down that corridor?
We don't have a study per se that would address that at this point in time. It is going to be ridership. That is something that we're looking at in the long term to see if that's going to work. It's going to take ridership to do that, though. And that's obviously usually you incrementally work towards that. You work towards a bus rapid transit or as you work towards those. So it's all about density and actually ridership and usage.
All right, let's try to get some of these questions from viewers taken care of. Before we go to Gloria, I've got a Facebook question. Then we'll go to Gloria, who's on the live line at 790-2040. What percentage of funds are allocated for road repairs out of your budget for the Department of Transportation, and do you feel the funds are adequate? Stephen asked that question on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page.
We're funded through highway user revenue funds, where we're basically gas taxes at the state level. So all the operating budget that we have and most of the capital, that fact, either come from our highway user revenue funds to the state that been in place for 20-plus years and haven't changed. So all our funds come from that. And our funds go to that. They're dedicated for either maintenance or project building, or of course, the administration of those. So every penny we get either goes towards a capital project and or the maintenance of our street system.
I'm sure it's not adequate, though, because if it was adequate, you would have enough money to fix all of the roads, right?
We're similar to every other large city in the country. We have a fixed tax, both at the federal level and the state level, of how we are funded for our transportation systems. And as we become more fuel efficient in our vehicles, And we travel less, where our travel demands are less. We stay at home more and because it's the price of gas. So, there's a fixed rate, and there is not enough dollars compared to what we really need.
Gloria has been waiting very patiently on the live line. She called 790-2040. Go ahead, Gloria.
Hi. So one of the scariest places in Tucson, and there's many of them, but one of the scariest is that Broadway going into downtown, and then there's Fourth Avenue, and then there's Congress, and really, it just to try to get through there at any time, and then add the streetcar to it. So how is this Broadway corridor going to impact that juncture?
Broadway, Congress, and Toole, that kind of a three-way intersection you're talking about. Of course,
yeah.
The streetcar does go through there. We have done some work right there in front of Hotel Congress where Toole does not go, if you would, southeast, I guess, is a direction into there. So we've kind of cut that leg of it off. So it makes it a one-way kind of going northwest through the intersection. We did that over the last 6 months as part of the streetcar design. We've moved some of the sidewalk work and the bicycle work there at the new hotel and some of that work to try to get some of the pedestrian movements out. But it is a congested intersection. There's no doubt about it. It is, you're coming, it's not right angles. And so, but we have changed the timing of the lights at that area. We've marked the crosswalks. We have a bike lane that goes around it to try to get some of those conflict points from other modes away from it. But
so the work that's being looked at now, the work that was looked at last night, it's not going to exacerbate that situation, right?
Oh, I wouldn't think so at all. No, that they're probably, a half mile probably from that intersection. Most of the traffic on Broadway will continue down Congress.
As we forward,
rather than going north.
Thank you, Gloria.
If I could follow up on Gloria's question, the Downtown Links project is on the boards to try to get some of that traffic that's going into that area directed instead towards St. Mary's and the interstate. But what's the timeline on that project?
We are in about 90% design right now. I think we have 8 more properties we need to purchase, and we're in the midst of trying to procure those. We still have one item left to work with our railroad. We cross the railroad in that area down there, so we have a railroad issue for the McClovia-Barrasas, we're going to call that area, from Broadway all the way into St. Mary's. I expect to be in construction probably later part of this fall or early spring of this next year to actually break ground in it and have the utilities start their work. And 2 years from now, we should actually have that open.
Two years, great.
All right, we're a little past our break, but we will take a break right here, and we'll be back with Daryl Cole, who is the director of the Tucson Department of Transportation. 790-2040, if you have a transportation question, Daryl will answer it, I'm sure, to the best of his ability. We'll be right back.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Listen to what our customers have to say.
Hi, this is Joseph Blair. Whether I was playing power forward with the U of A Wildcats or around the world as a professional basketball player, and now as community leader and founder of Blair Charity Group, helping disadvantaged youth and supporting the Southern Arizona community, I've always worked hard to be the best I can and give back. That's why I absolutely love working with Arizona Party Rental. From golf tournaments to other charity events, Arizona Party Rental has always been efficient, professional, and easy to work with. The team at Arizona Party Rental will make your next party or event a slam dunk.
Hey, thanks a lot, Joseph. Great assist. Our community really appreciates everything you've done on and off the court. Before you plan your next special event, visit Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Stop by our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on Friday. Our bump music is 60s music. Today we're featuring the music of the Turtles. Daryl Cole is with us. Daryl is the director of the Department of Tucson Transportation. Daryl, you remember the Turtles, don't you?
Actually, I do.
Yeah.
I'm telling on myself, though.
Jim Nensel is here, too, from the Tucson Weekly, and Jim loves old music, especially from the 60s. He's too young to have lived through the 60s music, but
that music has been around as long as I have been.
Certainly appreciates it.
You know, there's that great movie coming out, The Wrecking Crew.
Oh, really?
Which has features all the session players who were playing in the 1960s in L.A., and it's a spectacular movie. I think it's coming to the Loft, if it's not there already, and... Check it out if you love old music.
All right. I've only got about 6 minutes left with Mr. Cole. 790-2040. I want to get through some of these questions that came in on Facebook about potholes. This Facebook friend said she saw some crews working in the rain repairing potholes. That shouldn't have been, right?
Not necessarily. We have three different mechanisms for patching potholes. In the rain, typically we're going to use a cold mix, which we get out of a bag, which is a polymer modified that actually you can put into standing water in a hole, 2 or 3 inches of water. It fuses with that, and it's a pretty ingenious mix. It's a little more expensive, of course, $80-$90 a ton, where we're paying $50 or $60. It's almost double, but it works in water.
Do you agree with this survey? And I tried to give you a heads up on this before you came in, so you could check it out. TRIP, T-R-I-P, an acronym for I don't really know what the acronym stands for, but it's a transportation research group that ranks Tucson fifth in the nation among large cities for the highest percentage of roads in poor condition. And they say 53% of our roads are in poor condition. The other cities ahead of us, I guess you could, are all in L.A. L.A., San Francisco, and San Diego, all over in California.
You know, I did not look at when the data was pulled together as far as what years they're looking at it per se. But I can tell you, our roadways are in pretty poor condition overall. All this $100 million that the voters put it on is going to make a huge difference on our arterial system. We're going to make a huge change over the next several years in the ride quality. If you notice it today, you'd be driving along on a pretty rough road, and then you hit that smooth road, and you go, oh, this is really nice. And then, of course, you come out the other end into something very rough with potholes. You go, it's really a noticeable contrast today. On the residential local side, we're touching just very minimal. But on the arterial system, you're going to see a major change in the condition and the ride quality overall, which carries the most of the traffic in the city.
You know, something I think a lot of people don't realize is that the longer you put off taking care of these roads, the more expensive it gets. It's costs 10 times as much, I think, to fix a road once you've allowed it to deteriorate to the point where you have to rebuild it as opposed to maintaining it. But you don't have the money to really even maintain, which causes you to constantly fall further behind.
And I wish it was 10 times. It's more like 60 or 70 times.
Whoa.
But
if
you think about your roof and you have a new roof on there, you want to put a coating on there at 2 or 3 years. You don't want to wait till it leaks. You don't want to wait till your drywall has fallen in and your trusses are falling in. And that's what we're waiting until our subgrade and our base course is actually soaked and wet and starting to fail. And then build it. And we, of course, have accepted over many, many years roadways that were rural roadways and not built to the standards of today. So they don't have a substructure and a base course and an actual mat that you would build a new pavement. So you're trying to manage pavements that were chip sealed on top of native ground in many, many instances. So
really? In other words, just pretty much... throw it on top of the desert in some cases.
And compact the desert materials. And we've grown, we're in a western part of the United States and grown over time. So we're making some changes now, and you're right. So in this program, this $100 million program, we're the roadways, including the RTA plan that we're doing, we're working on as we resurface those in the fourth and fifth year, we're coming back with a flush or a microsurface of some kind and or a flushing of sealing the cracks at the latter years and trying to maintain those pavements to extend that lifespan as well as deal with those ones that have completely failed.
So sometimes people will see you working on a road you fixed just a few years ago and say, hey, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you fixing the bad ones? And it's because you want to both keep up the ones that you've done, and it's less expensive to take care of those.
Absolutely.
And Grant Road, final question here. Grant Road, you, obviously the large widenings on the drawing boards, but you guys are having to go in and actually do some repairs on that, even though you're going to come in and completely redo it in a few years in the center of town because the condition's just so bad right now.
That's true. You'll see, I believe it starts around April 1st. We're doing some utility changes right now, lowering water valves and manholes and those. We have a recycling contractor coming in, probably about 3 weeks' worth of work. He's going to come in and mill the first inch and a half of asphalt, or the reprofile that road's pretty rough, as we all know, and then come back in what we call heater scarification and come in and heat that pavement probably about an inch in depth, come through and break up the old cracking patterns, pick that loose material up, put rejuvenation back in, and some asphalt, bring the asphaltines, maltings back in, lay it back down, and then cover it with a new inch and a half of asphalt on top of it, all in one paving train.
All right, Daryl, I'm about out of time, but I do want to ask a question about the streetcar. Folks don't realize that your job is, most people probably don't realize, that your job is more than fixing potholes. You also oversee the downtown streetcar. Ridership, how is it doing?
We estimated with the Federal Transit Administration before we built it about 3,600 passengers a day. We're averaging 4,300 to 4,400 passengers a day now. And of course, during school hours for the U of A, that rises and falls off during breaks and in Christmas and summer. But we've been very, very successful, and it's been an economic driver in our downtown community.
All right, Daryl Cole, I'll let you get back at it. I appreciate you coming in, spending part of your lunch hour with us. Jim is appreciative as well, I'm sure. And good to see you, Mr. Cole. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we appreciate the public and letting us know where the potholes are.
And again, we should probably, before we let you go, where is the number that I wrote down? 791-3154. That is the pothole hotline. Did I get that correct?
520-POTHOLE? Is that what it spells?
No, it does not. It does not do that. Don't people, yes, please don't do that.
It's, 520 and then 791, which is... has city the city
prefix.
Government. Yeah, city prefix. Thank you, Jim. And then 3154. Okay, that's going to do it for the Friday Focus. We've got our Friday Roundtable. We'll be heavy on the legislative news today with Jim Nintzel and another Jim, Jim Small. Jim is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Be right back.
Good one.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. Oh, it's true. Oh, I love you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger. Also, will have an update on the proposed widening of Broadway Boulevard. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and for anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Listening to a little bump music today, our 60s Friday bump music from the Turtles. My name is Bill Buckmaster. Jim Nitzel is with us. Jim is the editor. No, he's not the editor. He is the senior writer.
I'm a lowly correspondent.
Oh, no. Senior writer of the Tucson Weekly. Of course, our friend Mari Herreras is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. The editor is Jim Small of the Arizona Capital Times. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Doing real well. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to start here with Jim Nitzel. It looks like, and maybe, Jim, you can weigh in on this, that TUSD has dodged a bullet when it comes to lawmakers cutting off funding for the desegregation funding up to like $60 million.
Yeah, this was a bill that Mark Fincham of Oro Valley was pushing pretty hard, and the idea was they wanted to do a forensic audit of the desegregation funding, which, you know, the TUSD has a pretty complicated budget, and a big chunk of it is this desegregation dollars that they get, and it involves being able to comply with some federal agreements that they've entered into, and they decided perhaps they would have to require this forensic audit and then also hold back on allowing them to spend any of those dollars until the audit was complete, which would have been a $64 million hit to their budget until they got the green light to spend it. And then H.T. Sanchez, the superintendent of the district, went up and testified and somehow swung them in his direction. And I think Jim may have more details about what went on there and whether or not we're going to see this bill come back, because I don't think anything's dead till signee die.
Jim, yeah, is it coming back, do you think?
I don't think so. This was, frankly, the resurrection of this idea. Earlier this year, there was legislation that was pushed by a senator from Peoria, and it would have essentially phased out these property taxes related to desegregation orders or agreements that school districts strike with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. And it would have phased them out over, I want to say it was like 5 or 10 years. And really the ones that would be hurt the most would be TUSD and Phoenix Union High School District, both of which have had problems. TUSD actually entered into a court order. Their system went all the way through. Phoenix Union entered into an agreement, a binding agreement with the U.S. Department of Education. Both of them, though, basically said at the time, look, this is devastating to our budget. I mean, the reason we're able to comply with these orders is because we have this ability to levy this property tax to pay for the programs and the services that we use to make sure that we're not that we're not segregating our schools, that we're in a situation where students are treated fairly and they're not all lumped together, basically, schools that are filled with entirely with Hispanic kids or entirely with African-American kids. So that bill died. It didn't go anywhere. This was kind of the resurrection of that in the form of a strike everything amendment in the middle of the night, really, in a committee. In the Appropriations Committee. This is a committee, by the way, that started at 9 o'clock in the morning and did not get finished until 3 o'clock the following morning.
Oh, my goodness.
And the debate on this bill specifically took place, I want to say it was around 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. It's one of the last things that they dealt with.
And Jim, on the process question there, have you seen a rush to wrap up a session as early in the year as this one, to the point where they are doing these open 24-hour-a-day legislative committee hearings?
I never have, and so I was actually curious about this exact issue this morning, and so I looked it up. And so today marks the 75th day of the legislative session. Typically, they go 100 days. The idea is after 100, they're supposed to go 100 days. After 100 days, they're supposed to do some perfunctory things to extend them longer. Today's day 75. They are talking, the goal for them that they've set is to try to get out next week within the next 6 or 7 days. That's probably not going to happen. So even if you were to go out the following week, so 2 weeks from today, if they were to end the legislative session, that would put them on day 89. The only other time, the last time that the legislature finished in less than 90 days was in 1969.
Mm.
Which was an entirely different world. It was several generations ago, and that is the kind of breakneck pace they're on right now. It's something that literally hasn't been seen since the Vietnam War was raging.
And I've heard complaints that basically they're going through the motions of having these hearings, but they're not really allowing a lot of testimony. I mean, at 3 a.m, who's up to testify? But they're really not allowing a lot of public input. They're trying to do a lot of stuff out of the sight of the public.
Yeah, some committees are better than others. To his credit, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, Justin Olson, has generally been pretty good about letting people testify on bills. Certainly, you're right. At 3 a.m, who's around? And in fact, that was oddly enough, that was the argument and a complaint made by Representative Fincham, who was sponsoring this bill, and he said, "Look, I had people who were here who could have testified in this bill if we'd been in committee earlier in the day doing this, but they decided that they rightly had to go home and get ready for their jobs the next day, and they couldn't be here until the middle of the night, and so he felt that he was kind of submarined, and he even talked about how he had constituents and voters who were being disenfranchised by the fact that they were meeting into the wee hours of the morning.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly, a friend of our show here, would like to ask and contribute to the conversation with Jim Small and Jim Nintzel. Go ahead.
It's a cavalcade of Jims here today.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, I've never quite understood what the state's role in the desegregation funding was, other than the property tax. But my reality is this, is what's it going to take to get TUSD off the probation or whatever the heck we're on with regards to the federal magistrate and the special master and all that kind of stuff? And Mark Bincham's point is, what's it going to take for us not to constantly be want to stay on it for that $60 million, but actually not have to spend the $60 million. What's it going to take for that to happen?
Jim Small?
You know what? I am not entirely certain. I'm not even going to pretend that I am well versed in the intricacies of the deal that they have and the agreement that they have with the federal government and with the federal courts on this issue. I honestly couldn't tell you what it would take to get off of it. I would imagine that there is some way that they could get off of it at some point. I wish I had an answer for that. I'm just not even in a position to know that.
And I think the demographics of the community have changed considerably since this lawsuit was first filed. I think there's been a lot of change in who's going to TUSD and where they're living. And Jim, I honestly don't know what it will take either. I have not covered TUSD a whole lot in my career. It's mostly been covered by other reporters at my newspaper. But I do know that, you know, the latest round of working on an agreement on the desegregation ran into some controversy because the TUSD wanted to keep some of the magnet schools that they have operating, and the special master was saying that they're not doing the job of drawing enough students to the schools to work out the ethnic breakdowns, and you do have an issue where you have just neighborhoods that are largely Hispanic, and there may not be a whole lot of Anglo kids that want to go to those schools if it means traveling across town. So it's a really complicated program, as is a lot of what goes on at TUSD.
All right, Jim, thank you for the question. Jim Small is with us, editor of the Arizona Capital Times, and Jim Ninsel, the senior staff writer of the Tucson Weekly, and of course his column, his award-winning column, The Skinny, has been running for many, many years, and in the Weekly. What's the big issue that still then needs to be resolved, Jim Small?
There's a couple of things that are still kind of hanging out there. One of them is the legislation that would allow ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft to operate legally, to have the insurance that they need, so that the state will essentially recognize their ability to operate in Arizona. Right now, they're doing so kind of quasi-legally. The department that regulates it is turning a blind eye at the moment. That's one big thing. There is some Common Core legislation to end Common Core that is still moving through the system, and there are still some fix-up work to do on the budget that's still out there, and as well as the governor has a couple of proposals moving through, one which would create an office of the Inspector General to ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse within the government, and another that would essentially dissolve the state's Department of Weights and Measures and scatter its various components to the wind and let them find home in different state agencies.
And Jim, the election bills, I think, are still floating around up there, aren't they? What was the status of that ballot harvesting measure?
Yeah, that's right. That was one that came back as the third or fourth time we've seen it pop up this year. It passed a committee. Its next stop is the floor of the state Senate, I believe. It's a bill that would criminalize people going out and collecting early ballots and taking them and dropping them off for elections officials to count. It's a tactic that's largely been used by Latino groups and certainly by Democratic groups to go get increased voter turnout in areas, communities, and among constituencies where folks don't typically vote or they vote at very poor levels. It's basically turned into a partisan issue. There's a feeling that this is designed really just to limit the number of Democratic voters or potential Democratic voters out there, and therefore it's being pushed by Republicans and supported by Republicans. The law is written in a very weird way. Curiously enough, there's some exemptions that are in it. The exemption, of course, naturally, politicians being self-dealing, they put in an exemption that says any candidate or the candidate's spouse can go out and collect as many ballots as they want, but you or I could not go do that.
And I think they left out postal workers, so we're criminalizing all their postal workers.
That, Yeah, that was something that we noticed too, was that for all the exemptions that they put in there, they didn't actually exempt the people whose job it is to go pick up those ballots. And so if you have a postal worker who drives around a neighborhood and picks up 20 ballots, theoretically under this law he could be prosecuted. I don't know if you'd ever find a prosecutor who would take up that case, but I think
stranger things have happened in Maricopa County.
Well, let's not remind us of our recent past here. It just goes to show, how hastily this law has been written, and how, what maybe some of these unintended consequences might be to the fact that this is a law that has changed, it morphed its way through the process, two or three or four times this year already, there's unintended consequences of it, and there's things that this law might do that I don't think anyone really expects.
And it's part of a package that was actually passed a couple of years ago, and then went up for a referendum, and then to avoid the vote of the people, the legislature repealed it all, and we're seeing other elements of that law also appear as separate bills involving barriers for third-party candidates to make the ballot or initiatives to make the ballot and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is funny that really the only two pieces of that old law, that 2013 law you talked about, that have come back are the two that are really aimed at benefiting Republicans the most. There were other components of that, but there were a number of other components of that law that were supported by elections officials and some other, things that really weren't as controversial. They weren't the high-profile things.
Good government those sort of reform things.
Yeah, and those have yet to come back at all. We haven't seen those, but we have seen these two pieces that are really specifically aimed at, either helping Republicans directly or by limiting the choices of voters on the ballot.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. Jim, you predict then not next week, but perhaps the week after for the session to go?
Yeah, I'd say probably April 8th or 9th. That'd mm-hmm. be my guess.
And the wackiest legislation this session, what would that be? Does anything jump out at you?
I think the wackiest legislation is maybe one that hasn't actually been proposed, but that was discussed this week, as to whether there needs to be a law that would require everyone to go to church on Sundays as a way to stem the moral degradation of this country.
Mandatory church attendance was proposed. Was that a tongue-in-cheek thing? Was it a state senator?
It was a state senator. It was not really a tongue-in-cheek thing. It was in a discussion about a bill about allowing guns into public buildings and why people need to feel more safe because this country's going to hell in a handbasket. And if only there were a law that required everyone to go to church, things would be better. And, the senator even said, I think we should probably be actually having that discussion. That would be a better discussion, better use of our time. But since we're not talking about that, we'll put it off to a later time.
Does Cardinal Stadium count as a church?
If that's the case, then they've got a sellout, and that's a great streak going.
There you go. Jim, thank you very much. Jim Small of the Capital Times. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim Nintzel, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me
on.
We'll
see you on TV at 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
8 o'clock Sunday morning.
Before the NBA game.
Yeah, right after this week, so we'll tune in for sure.
Your new set looks really nice.
Thank you very much. We worked really hard on that, and we're super excited about the step forward the show has made. And we got Sean McCluskey and Jeff Rogers talking about the legislature and a whole bunch more this week.
All right, very fun. Okay, thanks, Jim. Have a great weekend. Okay, we're going to go back to Weekend Watch is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show with Matt Russell right after this.
That your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Here we go with Weekend Watch, hosted by award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, dedicated foodie Matt Russell. Weekend Watch brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready over the Memorial Day weekend. Mark your calendar now, the 20th Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival featuring legendary blues master Taj Mahal. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Find out about the many things to do and the great places to stay like Wilderness Lodge and Burro Mountain RV Park by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell with us wearing his red for the Arizona Wildcats. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. You know, it's 84 degrees on a sunny Friday afternoon, and I'm asking myself, should I be at work or by the pool?
Well, we know the answer to that one.
I need some guidance, Bill.
Downtown Tucson, Tucson Museum of Art, the always do a great spring market.
Yeah, spring has sprung, and let's get out and enjoy it this weekend at the Spring Artisans Market at the Tucson Museum of Art, as you said. This event runs all day today, Saturday and Sunday, and more than 100 of the Southwest's finest artisans are going to be set up across the great courtyards there at the museum. And in addition to live music and activities for the kids and arts and crafts, there's going to be some great food purveyors from street tacos to falafel. Even the museum's own award-winning Café à la Carte will be dishing out some great chow. It's a beautiful spring weekend, and it's happening now at the Tucson Museum of Art.
Where do I watch the game Saturday?
You know, tomorrow's U of A game starts at 3:09, and my pick for watching this Elite Eight game is Barrio Brewing Company on 16th Street, just south of downtown. Now, of course, Barrio's got some great beers on tap, but the NC Double Ale gets my nod tomorrow because it's the exact recipe that was brewed 18 years ago to commemorate the Wildcats National Championship win. This is a big beer, Bill, with hints of malt and chocolate, and it's big enough to enjoy while celebrating the Cats' big win tomorrow. The NCAA on tap at Barrio.
Weekend watch, weekend breakfast recommendation?
Absolutely. The Baja Cafe over there on Broadway near Kolb got my eye this week. You're going to find all kinds of great breakfast items and combos, but there are things on this menu, Bill, that you are not going to find anywhere else, like the Mickey Rourke. Are you ready for this? Grilled cheddar and jack cheese mashed potatoes topped with a smoked pork loin and a cascabel chili corn sauce, poached eggs, finished with chipotle hollandaise. They can't be serious. Sounds like the perfect weekend for breakfast at the Baja Cafe.
Don't see your cardiologist after seeing that. What's in the column this week, real quickly, Matt?
Yeah, there's a chef in town who has worked very hard to preserve the global traditions of the gastropub, and I sat down with him recently to see what inspires him, and it's all in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Our thanks to our friends Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works, perfectionautoworks.com, for all of your automotive needs. And they're located very conveniently, Midtown location, 323-8650. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and Rosemary Brandt, my executive assistant, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.